I'm telling you, I just don't know. I mean, our advertising kind of dried up locally since the bowling alley went out of business. What are we going to do?
Well, as your advertising manager, I got a new business for you. I even have a promo and they've been running on local radio.
You do? Well, go ahead, play it for me.
Okay, here it is.
Hear that sizzle? That's the type of sizzler you can enjoy at the outdated Eats drive-thru located right up the highway. We got all kinds of treats for you and yours when you're trying to get through 6 hours of wrestling every week. What better than to celebrate with delicious flavors, huh? How about a burger for six? Brand new. No, it's not six burgers. It's one big honking burger. Ladies, we bet that hubby of yours will eat it all by himself. Try our original chicken planks. No, not nuggets. Not tenders. Big honking planks of fried chicken, big enough to do a belly flop off of or use as a ring barrier between the ring and the seats. Try a body slam barbecue. It's ladled with barbecue sauce covered on some kind of meat, I guess. Mysterio indeed. We got desserts. We got baby baba au gratin. We got fried dill pickle dipped in leftover Easter chocolate. And our specialty is food based on wrestling cities. We got Memphis-style chicken on a stick, Allentown-style still-frozen wieners, and Dallas-style diet cola loaded with saccharin. So load up the car and come into the outdated drive-through. We've been in business since 1964, back when Ilio DiPaolo was all the rage. Get over here. I said, get over here.
What? Huh? Okay, you're fired as advertising manager.
You, what do you know?
Ah,
it's the outdated wrestling hour.
Welcome back to the Outdated Wrestling Hour. It's Bob Smith, the former managing editor of Pro Wrestling Illustrated and writer and editor for a whole slew of wrestling magazines. How are you today? Before we get started on this edition, I want to thank each and every one of you. I don't know what happened. It's like somebody flipped a switch the last couple of weeks in October, and we are scoring big. And I want to thank you all so very, very much for the success we've been having the last few weeks. It's been really exciting. People kept telling me, check the ratings. You're not going to believe it. And I did, and I didn't believe it. So I'm really thankful for that. I mean, we're talking top 40 in the genre, and that's not half bad. And here's the funny part. When we had all that success, the very next Friday, I look at my host. My hosts, I don't know what to call it. It's the service that they use to calculate everything to do with the podcasts that they host. It went under, it went out, not out of business. It just went on the fritz. So I anxiously waited to see if we could follow up a top rated podcast with another one. And of course, none of the downloads were being counted because it was broken. If that isn't the state of wrestling podcasting, I don't know what it is. You know, there's so many of us out here trying to do it. And, All I know is I'm having a heck of a lot of fun, and I want to thank my recent guests, and I want to thank the people who are coming on today, because they have been around a long time doing a great job. It's the host of Dan and Benny in the Ring, meaning Dan Sebastiano and Benny Scala, and I was on their show recently, and I asked them if they'd come here, because we had such a nice time talking. So enough of my yakking. You know these guys. You love these guys. They have a great podcast. If you haven't checked it out, you need to. And who knows what we're going to talk about. It's freeform time again on the Outdated Wrestling Hour. Hey, guys, here comes Dan and Benny. As promised, we have two really cool guys who exceeded my expectations when I appeared on their podcast. which is called Dan and Benny in the Ring. You can get it wherever you get your podcast. And it's a lot of fun. Where else can you hear about wrestling and MLB? We ended up talking about baseball right when the Orioles were in the playoffs. Unfortunately, they were eliminated, but we ended up with Texas versus Arizona, which was so highly rated and so favored by so many fans that they tuned out in droves. Right, guys? I mean, good gosh.
They said
Chuck Norris and the Texas Rangers.
Game one of that World Series was the lowest watch World Series game since they started tracking ratings.
Yep. I read that too. Well, anyway, this is Dan Sebastiano and Benny Scala. Guys, welcome to the show. I'm very happy to have you here.
Pleasure.
Yeah, this is great. Thanks for having us.
No, it's you guys deserve it because I want people to find out about your show. And I want to find out personally how you got started. At last count, you have more than 180 episodes. My personal favorite is the one with Ron Shaw, of all people.
Oh, yeah.
Because how the heck did you even find him? That's awesome. I mean, that's,
it wasn't
that's,
easy.
No, as big as he is, you couldn't find him, right?
But right. Big Ron Shaw was.
That was his gimmick, and I think he was one of 17 executioners they used, and, you know, just. But I'm talking late period executioner, not the Kowalski executioners. If you noticed, if you watch 80s WWF, Takluna got under the hood, he was an executioner. Ron Shaw got under the hood, probably Davey O'Hannon was an executioner. I think they did double duty at a lot of the spot shows and stuff.
I think actually Iron Mike Sharp was supposed to be an executioner on Piper's Pit, but he turned it down, and that was the end of his push. So he was
really?
Another one. Yeah.
He had the size to do that.
Right, exactly. He didn't want to do it for some reason, and that was kind of the end of him.
Odd.
Yeah. The WrestleMania 1, very first match at the very first WrestleMania was Tito Santana against the Executioner, and I'm 99% sure that was Buddy Rose under that hood.
I think that's right. Yeah, I think you're right about that. So anyway, I need for you guys to explain to me how you got started, how you met each other, why you're doing a podcast, what's your favorite flavor of soup, because the old guy wants to know. So just whatever you want to tell me about your history, I'd really appreciate it.
Dan, you do that. You tell the story much better.
Well, okay, yeah. I got into podcasting a couple of years ago. There was, and I'm going to, you know, he deserves the shout out, so we will, you know, talk about him. But there was a radio podcast called Wrestling with the Future, and my friend Jeff Robinson co-hosted it along with Angelo, who kind of brought us all together, Angelo DiCipio. And Jeff unfortunately passed away really unexpectedly, and it was kind of left a gap because they called him Jeff the Ref, Encyclopedia of Wrestling, great guy, did officiating real big in the indie scene here in the Mid-Atlantic area. And they needed somebody to fill in. I reached out to Angelo. I was like, hey, you know, if you need a stopgap, I was like, that was one of my favorite things I used to do was go to the wrestling shows here and talk wrestling with Jeff. I'm like, I'll fill in for him. So we did. Turns out, apparently, Angelo said he was talking to another guy about filling that spot. Ended up picking me. I found out much later the other guy he was talking to fill that spot was Benny. So, you know, I ended up getting the job from him there. And we started. Benny came in after the Pro Wrestling Stories article that you wrote on, which great stuff. And I'm sure, Benny, you got the history and story of that. You just posted that today, actually. And Benny and I kind of clicked, and the three of us did some stuff. And then Angelo wanted to sort of shift away from wrestling. We ended up doing some stuff on criminals and cryptids and some non-wrestling related stuff. And Benny and I really wanted to keep the wrestling thing going. So we spun off, you know, Angelo still has his stuff going. He does, you know, like I said, the cryptids, the conspiracies, the
Long Island, the paranormal, Loch Ness Monster.
A lot of the, you know, what did he call it? The Midnight History Channel stuff. Like, I mean, it's interesting if you want to go check it out.
Is,
but
yeah,
Benny and I wanted to do the wrestling stuff, so we spun off. We, you know, kind of organized everything. Benny kind of came up with the idea and reached out due to his Bruno story, which I'm sure he'll tell, to have Dominic DiNucci, who was our first guest. And lo and behold, here we are. You know, coming up on 150 Dan and Benny in the Ring episodes. We've molded a little bit. Benny's nicknames changed a few times. You know, tweak the intro. But I always say, I'm like, you know, not a bad gimmick, not a bad deal for you know, two couple of microphones and a laptop. to, you know, half a step ahead of two friends in their garage. And it was great because, you know, like you said, we didn't go out to set the world on fire. We weren't going to dethrone Jim Cornette or be the next Joe Rogan. We just wanted to have fun. And we were talking before the show, before we got to recording. Next thing you know, a few months later, Benny's, hey, look, we've charted in Ireland and France, and we had mentions in other shows, and we have people we would never dream of getting a chance to talk to reaching out to us like, hey, I just heard your show, or I've got a book coming out. I'd love the chance to talk about it. And, you know, here we are, like I said, coming up on 3 years that we've been doing this, and it's just been a blast.
That's great. Benny, what can you tell us about your formation, as it were?
Yeah, it was really kind of like Dan said. I had started writing for Pro Wrestling Stories.
Mm-hmm.
I guess it was in 2019. And the first story I did was about Bruno. Long story, but I had written a tribute for Bruno on Facebook. And I have a friend named Mike Miggett, who actually, he lives in Johnstown City, Pennsylvania, but wound up becoming very, very good friends with Bruno. He did a print job for Bruno. He runs a print shop with his mom. And of course, Bruno was his hero. But Bruno wound up being almost just about his best friend. And so Mike read the tribute. He said, I'm gonna see Bruno for dinner tomorrow night. Would you mind if I read your tribute? And I said, like, would I mind? Like, are you crazy? He goes, well, don't be surprised if Bruno gives you a call tomorrow. I'm thinking, yeah, right, whatever. And so I was actually working for a car dealership. I was living in Robbinsdale, Minnesota, working in Brooklyn Park, Minnesota, at a Nissan dealership. Just as fate would have it, you know, at the busiest time, for once, it was slow. My cell phone rings at 6 o'clock. It's Mike Miggett. He goes, somebody wants to talk to you. I think, yeah, like, this is a practical joke. And, you know, Bruno had that unmistakable voice. And he goes, Benny, this is Bruno. And, like, my heart almost stopped beating. And the first thing he said to me, he said, Benny, where did you learn to write those beautiful words? I said, Bruno, when you write from the heart, it's easy. And we had about a 10-minute chat. And I'm thinking, like, this has to be Bruno. It can't be anybody else. And the next day, Mike said, you know, Bruno really liked you. They're having a Christmas dinner at Rico's Italian restaurant in Pittsburgh, which if you're ever in Pittsburgh, you have to go there. But he said, Bruno would like you to attend. Would you want to attend? So within 30 minutes, I had my plane ticket bought, my hotel room reserved, and I got my PTO approved at work. And we had dinner. It was December the 16th, 2017. I sat next to Dominic DiNucci. Bruno was about 5 feet away from me. And at the other end of the table was Dominic Irace, otherwise known as Donnie Iris, from Aaliyah, Love is Like a Rock. And I think, right. Bob, you right. go back way far enough. The Jaggers, right? The song The Rapper?
Right.
Yeah. So, I mean, he's wearing his Pittsburgh Pirates jacket. So we kind of got into a tiff about that. But, I mean, honestly, besides my kids being born, was one of the best days of my entire life. And I decided to write about it. And as a result of that is how I got invited on Wrestling with the Future as a guest. And I guess Angelo liked me enough that I became a semi-regular. And like Dan said, eventually we spun off. It's what a rush it's been, though. I mean, to be on the phone with an Ivan Putski or a Dominic DiNucci, these are people you watched on Saturday morning as a teenager.
Right.
I always tell Dan, like, this is so surreal that if I wasn't so old, I would pinch myself. The only reason I don't pinch myself is because I might clot. So
let me ask you a question, guys. Going through your list of people, I haven't heard all your shows, but I've heard enough of them. And I will say, you've gotten some surprisingly, shockingly A-list guests in terms of wrestling parlance, you know, some really famous stars. How has the experience been getting a hold of them? Have they said yes? Have they held you up like they've tried so many other podcasters, you know? How's it been getting guests?
Well, Benny, I mean, you're definitely the producer side of our show. You've booked a lot more of the guests than I have. Why don't you go for it?
I would say for the most part, I mean, a lot of these older, you know, older guys, like a Davey O'Hannon, guy is like an absolute gem of a human being. Like, he's always, mm-hmm. you know, very, very willing to come on. Evan Ginsberg, Nikita Brezhnikov, who not really wrestlers per se, but we've had Les Thatcher on a couple of times. We had we had Mickey Doyle. We've had, you know, Putski. We had DiNucci. You know, we've had Jimmy Valiant, Ken Patera. All like very, very surprisingly easy to you know, contact and, you know, and book. Now I've had, I'm not going to use any names, but there's been people that were not A-listers that in their minds, they are A-listers, and it's a little bit harder. And, you know, you get, but I figure, I mean, we've done 149 episodes, and actually we have Steve Kern next week, another, I think, pretty decent guest. Yeah. So, I mean, and I think now we've established ourselves to the point where people know who we are, and it's getting a little bit easier.
That's great. And you see, guys, I told you, listeners out there, if you don't want to binge on that stuff, that list of names they just gave you, I can't help you. Because did you hear that? I mean, these are the type of people that these guys have booked. You guys are doing a great job. But what I like best about your show is what I like about all the good podcasts, when you veer off. If you guys hit that right tone or the right subject, you'll go off and talk about something that may not be what you started talking about. Freeform is always a lot of fun, and you guys are kind of the masters of that, because you both have a lot of, I'd say, a good sense of humor, and you'll just, well, you know, when we talked about the Orioles, I couldn't believe we were going off into that space, but it was fun. I found it very refreshing, to be honest.
Well, I mean, Dan, have we done an episode where there has not been a baseball reference?
No,
I can't think of one.
We've been about 70-30 wrestling to baseball podcast. especially it works out great because Benny and I are both, you know, not to sound conceited, but we're both extremely knowledgeable about both products, both wrestling and baseball, and being you know, two different age groups. So we have the two different eras to compare. And then I'm an Orioles fan and Benny likes the Yankees. So it's this perfect mesh. I mean, really, because I've said from the beginning, when we first started, we wanted to go with the untraditional view. Like you said, the group discussion. If you listen to our podcast, you might as well be overhearing the three guys sitting at the table next to you at the restaurant, just bullshitting about wrestling. You know, Grandpa telling you a story, you know, where it's just, you know, next thing you know, we've got a list of questions written out. We've talked to the guest about the questions. We're on question three and we're 50 minutes into the interview because there's been two side stories and a random baseball conversation, which we like. But I also think it helps, like I said, that we know, we kind of know. And I try not to sound, I don't want to sound conceited, but we know what we're talking about. It's a lot easier to have the off the cuff and yourself when we did the baseball. I mean, you clearly very knowledgeable with the Orioles and baseball. You know, it's a lot easier to have the off the cuff conversations when you have knowledge about a lot of topics, and it really helps. And we've had a lot of guests either during the show. We've had many people reach out to us after the show saying that, you know, how much fun they had. We've had some, again, I don't want to name drop anybody, but we've had some big names on our show that have done hundreds of interviews over the years tell us straight up, like, no bullshit, you guys are my favorite interview I've ever done because of how laid back it was, or I got to tell this story that no one ever asks about. Because, all you know, you go on these shows and it's, oh, tell me about WrestleMania and tell me about this one match that, you know, you've wrestled for 35 years, but all anyone ever asks about is this one match. And then he comes on Dan and Benny, and Benny asks him, you know, I did some research and, you know, you were in Memphis for 6 months. Oh my God. Yeah. Let me tell you about this time in Memphis. And next thing you know, he's telling one of his favorite life moments that no one in 10 years has asked him about in interviews. It works out great.
Rip Rogers was one of my favorite guests, and it was a pretty decent interview. Now, Rip Rogers has set the Dan and Benny record for F-bombs. I think it was 207, Dan.
We stopped counting at around 200.
Yeah, it's like when you know, you go to the you have to go to the grocery store and weigh yourself because your scale at home doesn't work. But it was a great interview. But like, I'd say with about 10 minutes left, somehow, like, we did a baseball reference, and I didn't know Rip Rogers is a huge baseball fan. And he and I started just asking, you know, doing trivia questions to each other. And, you know, who has the record for the most shutouts? I said, Walter Johnson, 110. And, like, we just went back and forth. And at the very last second, I think Dan had already clicked off, but Rogers said, this is the best effing podcast I've ever been on. And that made me feel good, you know, because the guy's been probably done a gazillion of them.
Yeah, it's amazing how sometimes it all works out. Now, I booked a blues drummer named Rod Bland on my show, and people will go, why did you do that? Well, he's the son of Bobby Blue Bland, who was a famous blues singer. But once you started talking wrestling with this guy, he turned into a different guy, and he was telling stuff that happened at Halloween Havoc 3 and Clash of the Champions 1, and he knew as much about wrestling as anybody I've ever talked to, and I knew that going in. So it was like, I'm going to surprise people with how much this guy knows. And he knows everything. So sometimes your best guess can surprise you that way.
Yeah, I had no idea. But I mean, what a pleasant surprise. I mean, the guy really knew his baseball.
Yeah. That's you. And you probably didn't know that when you sat down, right?
No, I had no idea. And I mean, just for the fact that he said that, and I it sounded like it was very sincere, means he enjoyed himself.
Yes, and that's the key.
That's the most important thing.
Yes, if people are having fun, that's the big thing. And Dan, like you said, anybody could ask Randy Savage about WrestleMania 3. Are they going to remind him about, you know, something that happened in Kentucky 15 years before that, you know? And I think once you establish that you really have followed their careers and open up a question that they may not have been prepared to answer, that's when they'll have fun too. Because like you said, everybody probably asked him every day of his life about Savage or about, excuse me, Steamboat.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think it helps too that one of the reasons Benny and I work so well together is we have a lot of shared interests other than baseball. We're both fans of like bodybuilding and, you know, the Olympics, a lot of the Olympic sports. Like when we had Ken Patera on, we were talking about, you know, the Olympic weightlifting and the weightlifting records and I want to say powerlifting because that's a different thing, but the weight records and, you know, we talk bodybuilding and, you know, here's Ken Patera. Everybody wants to talk about McDonald's. Everyone wants to talk about, you know, the Survivor Series and this other match and NWA. Mm-hmm. And here we are, like, you know, he mentioned about his weightlifting. I mean, yeah, I know you set the record to 72, and he's like, oh, let me tell you, I was at the 72 Olympics, which was, of course, that was, you know, Black Saturday with the terrorist attack at the compound. And, you know, he's going into this whole story, and we booked Ken Patera. Next thing you know, he was on that episode was over 2 hours. And mm-hmm. It's like, hey, do we need to, you know, work something out? We booked you for an hour. And he was, no, not only did he have a great time, but he's reached out to Benny since, like, I want to come back. And, you know, that was one of it, was the Olympics and some of the past stories. We talked about stuff he hadn't told stories about in years. And we've actually had some moments, people that have gotten emotional on the show where they start telling a story and it's like, man, I haven't thought about my dad, or I haven't thought about, you know, Shane Russell, who was my best friend for 50 years. I haven't thought about him in ages because no one talks about it. Everyone wants to talk about, you know, like I said, everyone wants to talk about Survivor Series. Everyone wants to talk about Starrcade. And, you know, so it's this real emotional angle where they're telling us a story that they hadn't told in years. And it comes through a lot of the good feedback we get is it comes through how just, you know, pure the conversation is. Like the guests are clearly enjoying themselves, or it's clearly they're having fun telling the story. Maybe not fun in the emotional sense, but, you know, they're having a good time telling the story. It's something they want to say. And I also think we reach out differently. I wasn't too, and I'll admit Benny gets the credit for this one. When we talked about families, we had come up with the idea. Benny had pitched the idea of talking to, you know, some children. And it was it Matsuda? Was that the first child we had on the show?
Stephanie Kojima, yes, Hiro's daughter. Yeah.
And, you know, so here's the book, and she's talking about her life in wrestling, and then we ended up with the family of, you know, Bad News Allen, and it's not everybody talks to the family, hearing the stories of what it was like growing up when you're, especially if your dad was a heel. You know, growing up, it shines a light on the person, the wrestler as a human being, that you wouldn't get anywhere else.
Yeah. Some of the best podcast guests are the daughters of retired or deceased professional wrestlers, because they're proud of their lineage. They're proud of the dads. And, you know, a couple of them have been unbelievable on these podcasts talking about these minutiae and details you wouldn't think they would know, but they know as much as anybody. And it's thrilling to hear, particularly when it's someone who hasn't been around for a while and you can really, you know, get unvarnished truth about the guy's life. It's really cool. I mean, it really is. So Obviously, you guys are pretty expert at drawing the best out of your guests, and I've listened to a few shows. And like I said, my favorite is still Ron Shaw, man. I just, the fact that you even found him, awesome. I mean, that was my era. That's when I was really into it, from, you know, late 70s through about the expansion time. And
we even gave him his nickname, the Earl of Upsets, which he proudly uses now.
So what was the story? What was the story with David Sammartino?
He's kind of still kayfabe about that, isn't he, Dan?
Yeah. Yeah, he's still, it's, I don't want to sound cliche, but it's still real to him in that sense.
Okay. All right, I get it. Because that was controversial.
Yeah.
That was. I mean, I think even the fans were like, what just happened?
Yeah, even Gorilla Monsoon, I think, when he commentated on the match, I think he was trying to, you know, think on his feet really quick.
Mm-hmm. That was the Spectrum in Philly, that. Right? If I recall, Philadelphia that? Spectrum, that match.
Yes.
Yeah, I saw it years match. Later, and I was like, "What happened here?"
Yeah, I've seen it several times, trying to see if I could like, but it's very, very controversial.
Mm-hmm. That's one of the cool ones to look back on. Along, of course, you know, Moolah Spider Lady and Wendy Richter was another one.
Yeah.
And Wendy still claims that she didn't know it was Moolah. Come on.
No.
How do you not know?
I don't want to be rude, all right? But the female wrestlers of Moolah's era all look like they got hit in the head with a safe. You know what I mean? Like in a cartoon. Poof. They were all these semi-squat, big-legged. You know what I'm saying? They were more... I don't know how to put it. They were short and muscular.
It kind of similar when we had the on the old show when we got a panel discussion and one of the people on the interview was Larry Zbysko, and he told the story about, you know, breaking into Bruno's house and all. And he said he and Bruno had the same physique because they did the same workout. All if you look at all the women under Moolah's camp, they all had the same physique because they all went through the exact same workout. But Moolah's something about, I mean, maybe it's because you saw her so much, but her body type, it's kind of like, it almost reminds me of the old era of the giant, remember when Andre was Giant Machine?
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, even more recently for the younger fans, Hulk Hogan, when he did the Mr. America gimmick, where it's like everybody knew there's absolutely no way you were not in that ring knowing that that was Moolah under the mask.
Right.
But the one I think that when you talk about was real, we got to talk about the famous the sugar hold challenge, you know, beating the sugar hold challenge.
Yes, that was a great show.
Yeah, I loved that because that was, you know, I'd only ever heard that story in passing in like, you know, in other news, tiny little corner article in one of the wrestling magazines, you know. And that was, again, Benny gets the credit for that when he pitched that idea because it was such a fun story. And I think that was tied to another article you wrote, wasn't it?
After we interviewed Bill, I wrote a story. And that, I mean, JP Zarka, who's our editor, was kind of reluctant at first because he, you know, Bill Harding was a relatively unknown guy. And that moment, I mean, it has been talked about before, but not very often. But I think the last time I checked, it's been read about 53,000 times, which isn't too bad.
Not bad. No, not at all. Wow.
And it's something that would never happen now, though. I mean, and the way he tells that story, I mean, he remembers it like it was yesterday. And the fact that we're even talking about it like 41 years after it happened is incredible.
Yeah, it is. It really is. What if you guys had a favorite moment on your show? Individually, what would it have been? Do you ever think in those regards? Is there ever something that really stands out, like, man, that was spectacular, just made the whole thing worthwhile, you know, that type of thing? Have you had that moment on your show where you go, man, that was mint, I really love that?
I'll take a stab at it. I think, and I don't even remember who it was, but he after we completed the show, he said, I really like the way you guys do this. He said, you can tell that you put some time and thought into this. And he said, you know, I've been on so many podcasts where you can tell as I'm answering the question that the guy's trying to formulate the next question. Mm-hmm. And he said, you guys always know where you're going. Not that we, I mean, geez, how many rabbit holes do we go on? I mean, I think Ken Patera has never before or ever after talked about the hookers in Detroit. And we got him to talk about that. But like, we have a general idea where we're going to go. Not that we, and we're not, you know, we're not going to be like totally strict on it, but you know, the fact that we're prepared, people like that.
Yes, they do. How about it, Dan? You got one?
I mean, individual moment. I think what Benny was talking about was the surreal. We had Jimmy Valiant on, and anybody that ever watched wrestling, I mean, under the age of 40, maybe 45, or I should say, excuse me, over the age of 45, you know, even younger, you know, because he was still around well into the 80s and hopping. And now, obviously, you know, I mentioned the Ricky Steamboat's retirement tour pay-per-view had the Jimmy Valiant Invitational Battle Royal, and he got a huge pop, and it was cool to see. But I was talking, and I asked Jimmy Valiant about the match from Starrcade years and years ago, where it was Jimmy Valiant and Ruth was Ronnie Garvin in a dress, and everyone just pretended like it was a woman, and there was no real, because at the time, you know, I didn't get all the shows because I lived in Maryland. So, you know, most channel 13 was the NWA, channel 10 was the Northeast with the WWF, and then ESPN was the AWA, early days of ESPN. And I was like, so I'm watching, I'm like, that's Ronnie Garvin. Like, why is he? I never got the story. And hearing Jimmy Valiant be like, oh yeah, yeah. And he kind of, you know, in his, oh mercy, you know, that was one of them crazy ideas in the back. And, you know, and he went into the whole, like, basically it was, they were just ribbing on each other and figured it was kind of a group, like, why the hell not? This should be fun. And that was where, like Benny said, that was the surreal moment where it's like, here's something that's been in the back of my mind for 40 years. And now the person I watched on TV as a kid is telling me the true story behind it. Wow. So I think if I can add one more, what's that?
That's okay. We talked about having, you know, children of wrestlers, and it wasn't quite a children of a wrestler, but it was Lance Russell's son, Shane.
Mm-hmm.
And actually one of my favorite interviews, but at the end, I mean, he started talking about his dad and he just started crying. And I mean, not that I was happy that he was crying, but I mean, to hear the amount of love that he had for his father, it really did my heart good. I really, you know, it was a great interview.
I'll bet it was. Wow. You know, right now I'm in the works of getting a sibling or a child on my show, or the daughter of a wrestler, and we'll find out. I haven't finalized it, but I can't wait because it's one of the first wrestlers I ever saw. You know, one of the first wrestlers I've ever seen. So I don't want to say it now, but I'm hoping that works out because it sounds too interesting, you know. And I know I'll get some great stories out of her. There's a question I want to ask about. And I ask this to everybody. Benny, you look to be about my age. I don't know if we're in the same ballpark.
I got you by 3 years.
You got me by 3 years. Okay.
Yes.
Then versus now, how are your feelings about what's going on these days?
And we just enjoy had it, a you podcast you keep about up that with a couple of, yeah. We just had a podcast. We actually called it Then and Now. And then, you know, I didn't realize that the Beatles just released their Then and Now song today, which I mean, it's already got, like, I think 5 million downloads. But I went to my first show at the Island Garden on April 26, 1968. The main event was Bruno Sammartino against Toru Tanaka. Wow. And I was 13, a couple of months shy of my 13th birthday. And it was surreal. And I remember that they collided in the middle of the ring, and it sounded like an earthquake. They both went down. Bruno got up right at the count of 10, but my heart was in my throat, scared to death that, because Bruno was my hero, that Bruno was going to lose the title to Tanaka, you know, who's, you know, threw salt in people's eyes. And but I guess that what I'm trying to get at is, no matter what, and even into when Zbyszko turned on Bruno, I was probably about 25 in 1980.
Mm-hmm.
And even though I was a little bit more, like, aware of what was going on, I still I popped for that. I was like, holy crap. Mm-hmm. I just couldn't believe it happened. But I guess the bottom line is I know that today, the now, I'm watching a performance. And then I was watching a fight. That's really the best way I can put it.
Mm-hmm. I get it. Dan, how about you? You look like you're 25, so I don't know what to say to you. But Ben versus now, what's your preference? Do you have any feelings about it?
Well, Benny's got a few years on me. I'm 40, so you know, just a
little bit. Oh, jeez.
So, I mean, like I said, I came in when I started watching wrestling. You still had all the all the big territories: Florida, Georgia, and Memphis. You know, that was, like I said, that the NWA side was Channel 13, and Channel 10 was WWF. I always say what kills me with the modern product, and I still watch regularly, you know, mostly SmackDown, and then I'll admit I have AEW on in the background here and there, just because Raw is 3 hours. I don't have 3 hours of free time any given day, more or less, consecutively on a Monday night. But Hulu, the Hulu replays are 90 minutes, so I always try and catch up on those sometime. But I think the biggest problem I have with today's wrestling, other than the ridiculous, you know, the fact that it's not wrestling anymore, like Benny said, you know, Bruno, even go back and you mentioned earlier of, you know, Savage Steamboat, or go watch Flair and Dusty, or I talked about, you know, Flair and excuse me, Garvin. You know, these are guys that are, they're genuinely fighting. They're genuinely trying to kill each other. It looks like it hurts. It does hurt. You know, anybody that's ever heard a Wahoo chop knows that hurt for real. And, you know, now you watch it and it's flips and balances and the 10 ducked clotheslines and the handspring into a ducked clothesline. And it's choreographed. It's so blatantly choreographed that it doesn't look like a fight. It looks like gymnastics. Then when you go and watch a Bryan Danielson or Gunter or somebody today that actually has, you know, could have a territory style match, it almost looks out of place. And I know we were talking about it. They had a Ring of Honor match with Claudio Castagnoli and what is his name? Single name. I want to say Moose, but that's not right. But it was a old school, just holds and chops and forearm. You know, it would be a match Bruno would have been proud of. And the crowd was dead for it, because the AEW fan didn't know what to do. Like, there's no high spots. There's no weapons. They're out of the ring for 2 minutes. This is actual just mat wrestling, holds and punches. When do we cheer? Like, when do we pop? You don't. You enjoy the match and then you cheer at the end. Like, you know, and then of course we talked about it yesterday on our show. With I asked about, you know, the transition, DDT, the and super kick, you know, now watching AEW where they're no selling Canadian destroyers. Like, that was the big move 10, 15 years ago that looked amazing. And now everybody's doing it and it means nothing. And you pretty much have to, what the example I always joke, I say, you know, you powerbomb somebody off the top rope through two flaming tables and that's not the finish. Like, you know, it's today's wrestling, you have to kind of take it with a grain of salt. But what I watched as a kid and the tapes I used to get and the magazines, that was real wrestling. Today is gymnastics fighting.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's also
getting
it's
the shit in is really what it is.
Yeah. But, you know, it's also the fans' perception, too. Benny, you probably agree with this. Our first matches, we were rooting for someone, and that was our interest. We wanted our favorites to win. A fan goes today and they wonder how a guy is being booked. Is he going to be put over? I have my fingers in the air.
Right.
I don't like the way this guy is being used. The door's been opened so wide for every secret of wrestling that they know it's a show and they want their show a certain way, as opposed to watching a sporting event where the outcome is one thing or the other. You know what I'm saying? In other words, we rooted for the good guys. Now they're rooting for the performance. Or something?
Yeah.
I don't know what they're rooting for these days.
I don't think anybody ever said, this is awesome at a Bruno match.
Right.
Because they didn't have that kind of emotion. The emotion was, you know, Bruno's my hero. He needs to win. And they legitimately thought that Bruno was in a fight for his championship.
True. And you know what? In my day, fans never chanted. They didn't break out in chants. This is awesome. Or you effed up. You still got it. They never, you still got it. That didn't happen. The mindset of the fans has changed totally. Whether that's a good thing or a bad thing is up to whoever's watching.
I think the standards for a you still got it chant have changed. I remember Bruno getting a big reaction when he was one of the special guest entrants at the Battle Royal WrestleMania 2. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he got a bigger pop than most of most of the modern wrestlers. And that was the one that had the NFL with like Refrigerator Perry and all in it. And, right. You know, there was a genuine like, yeah, Bruno could still kick some ass, even though he was clearly older. And now it's, you know, somebody comes out and does a sloppy looking punch or half an arm drag and the crowd chants, you still got it for 5 minutes. It's like, no, they clearly don't. The fact that they're not dead doesn't mean they can still wrestle. Like, you know, you have to actually have it. And that doesn't, even that chant doesn't mean anything anymore.
You know, I was talking to Steve Generelli a couple shows ago and from Stick to Wrestling. And I told him that one of my favorite matches that everybody else in the world hates was Goldberg versus The Undertaker from Saudi Arabia. Oh, they botched the finish. Who would have ever been up in arms in 1975 about a maneuver that didn't work or a hold that didn't take hold? You know, they were swimming in each other's blood. It looked real. They were tripping over each other. That's sports. I kind of like sports, you know? You know, shortstops make errors. These things happen, you know? It's like it looked more real than whatever they had planned. And everybody hated it, and I loved it. Because, you know what, it wasn't what they had. They had to improvise a finish. You know, it wasn't what they had in mind. But it worked.
Right.
So why are people up in arms when they got to a conclusion? I mean, they're not allowed to, you know, drop somebody once in a while or something. You know what I'm saying? It's like, what is this? Is this a ballet? Does it have to be minute-wise perfect every hold and move that you do? I don't know. This is what happens when the fans think they're smarter than the wrestlers are. And it's not entertaining to me to, you know, the whole five-star match thing, yeah. I throw it out. I pay any attention to that stuff.
It was much better when Santa Claus was real.
Oh. Absolutely right. Yes, it was.
The five-star match is pointless anyway. Whenever they throw out one statistic where they'll say something like Jon Moxley has more five-star matches than Ricky Steamboat, Kurt Angle, and Shawn Michaels combined. Like at some point, you know, you got to admit the what did they say? Anytime Meltzer does the star ratings, if it's in the Tokyo Dome, you can already add 2 stars to whatever match happens. You know,
I really like Dave as a person. I've had my dealings with him. I'll put it this way: I think he's a first-rate reporter. His opinion, I don't really care about.
Right.
There's a difference. The meat and potatoes, nuts and bolts that he's provided in the Wrestling Observer since 35 years or whatever it is, that's what I care about. What he cares about in terms of his opinions, I'll listen to them and take them with a grain of salt. People can't separate that, but I can. You know, it's like, fine, whatever you think. I know what I like, and that's what's most important. And that's why we buy tickets and watch the TV, right? It's what we like.
When we were growing up, did we really care that a match was five? I didn't even know what a 5-star match was. I went to the luncheonette and I didn't buy the Playboy magazine because I was too young. And but I picked up the latest issue of Wrestling World or Wrestling Review or, you know, one of the after mags. And one of the first things I went to look at was the ratings, because that's what mattered to me. Right. I just wanted to see who was rated. You know, they didn't have, you know, how many 5-star matches did they have? You know, Billy Robinson was number 3 in the AWA. I mean, to me, that was significant.
Right. You know, here's a perfect example of how the whole world has changed. It's got to be 76, 77. I'm in an armory in Albany, New York with some friends. And here comes George the Animal Steel versus Ivan Putski. I've told this story before. They get in the ring and George is doing his wild man act and he runs outside the ring. Referee's counting. He gets back in the ring. He does the wild thing and gets out of the ring again. The referee is counting. They haven't locked up yet. Finally, after about 6 minutes, they do a referee stance and Putski pushes him. George goes out of the ring and the referee counts him out. Winner Putski. They locked up once. Once. The place went batty happy. Standing ovations, people with their fists in the air. And I'm thinking, if they did that match today, You know, because it was all the steel character was what they pushed in that match. I guess he was either leaving the territory or something. Nobody cared. It was in the middle of the card. And it's like, could you imagine a match like that today?
Right.
No. Everybody, and here's the thing. Everybody was happy because they hated George Steele and they loved Ivan Putski. And it didn't matter how he won, he won. Yeah,
exactly.
Nobody looks at it that way anymore. No, and another thing that bothers me about today's wrestling is the lack of rules and regulations. It's run-ins and outsider interference match after match after match after match. There's never any suspensions, no fines, no reprimands, just constant chaos outside the ring, people running around in circles outside of a ring for 3 hours on Raw every Monday night. I mean, it's getting old. And it's getting old to me. I don't know.
To me, there's no build. I mean, there's a build, like somebody will call somebody out at 8:15 on a Monday night. They'll wrestle at 10:30, and that's the entire build to the storyline where,
right.
You know, like the Bruno Zabisco
right.
feud. I mean, that was like months in the making, and you couldn't wait to see what happened the next week. What's going to happen with Bruno and Larry? And they don't have it. People don't have the patience to sit through that anymore, I guess.
Well, I mean, let me just make one point. Dad. When did this start? Guy comes out, grabs the mic and goes, "You stink. I want you." And somebody yells, "Get a referee." And here comes a referee running into the ring and the match is sanctioned and immediately taking place just because right. two guys want to do it. Wasn't there something scheduled in that time slot for yeah. you guys? It makes no logical sense. No, it doesn't make any sense.
Music.
No, you're right. Absolutely right. Well, it's the same thing. I've always said one of the things that irritates me and why I'm not a big fan of the hardcore, the death matches, you know, they reach under the ring and you pull out a chair. Okay, maybe a toolbox with a hammer in it or something. But they in the middle of a regular match, they go under the ring and they pull out a shopping cart with it full of a trash can kendo stick and a baseball bat covered in barbed wire. What the hell is that doing under a standard wrestling ring? Like, they didn't plan on using it, but we had, you know, a trash can full of kendo sticks just laying under the ring. Like, you know, even if you don't get that's silly, something in your brain, your subconscious goes, that's not right. It's almost a what is that called, the uncanny valley of wrestling. Like, your brain knows it's wrong but you can't quite put your finger on it. And Benny hit it on the head just last week. AEW Collision Saturday night main event, MJF defended the AEW title against Kenny Omega. That is a pay-per-view match. I don't even like Kenny Omega. I would probably buy that pay-per-view. 2 days of build, because they brought it up on Friday that, hey, if MJF wins this weekend, he'll be the longest reigning champion and take the title, you know, previously held by Kenny Omega. Here's a pay-per-view level match with 2 days of build in a 70% empty arena watched by less than 400,000 people, or less than 500,000 people. It was like 400 and change, one of the lowest rated collisions ever. Like, how am I supposed to care about your main event scene when even your main event scene doesn't have build at this point?
Good point. Yeah. Everything is so topsy-turvy now. I can't cotton to it. Dan, you probably have a lot more patience than I do in terms of these things. When I see the lack of continuity in some of these shows, I'm stunned.
Right.
You know, I'm stunned. It's like, just hire a continuity editor with your writers. And there's the thing. They didn't need writers. They had bookers. You know, who needed writers?
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, I want you to know that Benny displayed a dog a little while ago, and I've got a good look at Dan's cat. So we have it's a four-man action any moment now. So
The
dog got counted out. Okay.
Benny will tell you she pops up a lot on the show.
She does. Yeah, she does a schmazz once a week.
That's great. That's great. I'm sorry, I had to point it out. It was too good. They're both adorable, too. So I'm a pet guy. I'm a big animal guy in my old age. So, you know. So what's in the future for you two? I mean, where are you going with this? Are you just going to continue to have fun and hopefully inform a lot of people about old school wrestling? Or what's your end goal with all this?
Yeah, I mean, just what you said. I mean, we're actually booked through the middle of January. And I mean, I thought that we'd run out of guests a long time ago, but it just seems that, you know, people are presenting themselves to us a lot of times asking to be on the show, and, you know, or somebody comes in the show and, you know, after they have appeared, They'll tell us, well, I think so-and-so would be a really great guest. And then we reach out to them and then we book them. I mean, I'm having a lot of fun. It's something I never in a million years thought I would do, like even one podcast. And here we are, like approaching 150. And I thoroughly, thoroughly enjoy it. And I'd like to keep going.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm glad Benny wants to keep going because, I had originally had plans to fire him in February. And once we got on video, replace him with someone, a lot better looking. But then, lo and behold, we upload our YouTube videos. And the first comment we get on YouTube is all these women fawning over Benny. So, I mean, he's who would have known? You're the eye candy of the team, Benny.
And I can't afford to pay them based on what you're paying me. So, it's genuine.
Benny gets nothing but the heartiest of handshakes and most closely
expiring coupons.
I was going to say Panera Bread coupons. Yeah. Those little Baskin Robbins dollars from 1985 that don't have an expiration date on them, it's still good. But no, like Benny said, I mean, we're going to keep going. I'm having fun with it, and that's really all that matters. It's not much, we record maybe an hour, if we do a little extra, maybe an hour or two a week of recording, maybe another hour or so of change with the edits and upload, because I've got a lot of that done already. Benny, we got a good dynamic. I kind of do the technical side, and Benny does a lot of the producing and book side, and it's a great teamwork. And as long as we're having fun and we, like Benny said, people keep coming out of the woodwork. I mean, I thought, like he said, 150. Apple had a thing a few years ago, the under the umbrella of podcasts. They said the average podcast lasts 3 episodes and gets listened to less than a dozen times. Mm-hmm. So here we are pushing 150 3 years later, and we're still having fun. And now, I mean, we're on your show talking about our podcast, and you were on our show talking about your podcast, and it's a great dynamic. We've got some friends in the industry. Benny's the commissioner here in Virginia for Boogie's Wrestling Camp, and I've got people that I watched on television that I watched as a kid on television that I can I have their numbers in my phone, and I periodically message some real legit friendships that have started from this and have come from this, and memories and stories. And it's, as long as they're still there, I'll keep doing it. It's a great time.
When I was in high school and college, I wanted to be on radio, and I went to SUNY Brockport, up near Rochester, and went in communications. And, one thing led to another, and I never did work in radio, and I never got an opportunity to do it, even though I had radio shows in college. All these years later, Rizzy calls me a couple of years ago and says, would you like to be co-host of mine? Because I used to appear on his old radio show. And to me, this is the next best thing to being on radio. It's the same thing, only you're doing it to a specialized audience. And to me, that's even better. I don't have to read the weather report on this. I can just, I'm talking about stuff I like. And like you guys, I want to keep doing this as long as it's, not unseemly or I get too old to do it or something like that. But like I said, it's a labor of love. I think that pretty much describes why you two are doing it too.
Yeah, I mean, give you an example. It was last Easter, and he hasn't been on our podcast, but I'm trying to get him on. Johnny Rods called me, and we spent about an hour and a half on the phone just chatting. And he's telling me stories about Baron Cicluna. He's telling me that Andre the Giant fell asleep and farted on his couch. I mean, how do you get stuff like that? I mean, and I'm the whole time I'm thinking, this is Johnny freaking Rods. This is a WWE Hall of Famer. This is Java Rook, which was my first, I call it WTF moment in professional wrestling, when I watched NWA Hollywood and I saw this guy, this wild man I said, damn, that looks just like Johnny Rods. He's even got JR in his boots, but it can't be because it's Java Rook, or is it? But I mean, what a great guy. And I'm thinking, like, things like that. I mean, that to me, it's priceless. The fact that we've formed friendships with these people. Ken Patera called me a couple of times after our show. I mean, and I wouldn't trade that for anything. I just wouldn't.
I hear you. Well, it's funny. As we record this show tomorrow, for the first time in about 34 years, I'm going to hang out with Craig Peters in New York City.
Oh, wow.
I haven't been in the same room with him in 34 years.
Wow.
And this is why I'm glad I'm doing this, because, you know, I've seen After recently. It's been, I'm starting to see my old pals again. And it's, when you get together, you guys know, it's like nothing changes. Mm-hmm. Maybe a little grayer or a little.
Pick up where you left off.
A little skinnier, a little heavier, but you pick right up where you left off and it feels like old times. That's good for you. You know, knowing you have friends you'll never lose, that's a cool thing. And that's another reason I'm so happy doing this, is because, you know, it's happening time after time now. I mean, even through social media, I'm talking to people that I fell out of contact with for 25, 30 years. So, you know, it's cool. You know, it's a lot of fun.
My high school reunion was last week, my 50-year high school reunion. I didn't go, although I would have liked to have gone, but I helped. I worked on the reunion committee. And I got a spreadsheet of people that, you know, they wanted me to track down. And there was a couple of people I called that, and I actually chatted with them. And I had, my graduating class was 1,100 students, pretty big school. Hmm. And I had never even, like, I knew the names, but I don't think I was ever in one of their classes. I had never chatted with them. We had like half hour conversations, and now, like, they're friends. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I reconnected, and we're gonna, even though we started a Facebook page for the reunion, but we've all like enjoyed reconnecting so much that we're gonna keep it going.
Yeah,
and you're right, like you just pick up where you left off, or you know, and in some cases you start.
Yeah, a friend's a friend forever,
right?
You know, real friend's a real friend forever. That's it, and you need them. It's the lift in your shoe. It makes life better to have friends. So,
oh yeah.
And I'm hoping I made a couple of new friends with you two, because I'll tell you what, and I mean this sincerely. My appearance on your show was one of the most enjoyable things I've done since I started my own podcast. And I appreciated the fact that you, I don't know which one of you contacted me, because I'm old and my memory's not so good, but I just want to thank you for allowing me on your show. I thought it was a privilege and an honor. And like I said, I'd seen your guest list. Like, what the hell they want me on there for? But I was happy to do it. And that's why I wanted you on this show, because your show is really good, guys. And
thank you.
Don't change a thing, because I think you've got it going on. I really do.
I do want a raise, but yeah, you're right. Otherwise,
don't we all? I mean, come on.
Maybe like Applebee's coupons. That'd be a little bit better. Upgrade a little bit. I like the boneless swings there.
May I suggest the McDonald's app? You get free food every time you order food.
All right. Yeah.
You know, that's not bad. Wendy's does it too. And if you have a Wendy's app, you accumulate points. I can't believe I'm saying this out loud. I'm talking about my McDonald's app, which I actually use, because you know what? McDonald's is the only place you can get a lunch under $10 anymore.
Yeah, the we had a lunch meeting at work recently, and I got a Baconator combo from Wendy's, and I think the large Baconator with the lemonade, which is extra, was like $18 after taxes.
Oh, jeez. Yeah. You know? Wow.
It's insane. Yeah. If you go into a deli now, and listen to us talk, if you go to a normal deli and you say, I want a roast beef hero and I grab a bottle of soda out of the cooler, it's $20, kids, around here.
I mean, even
I don't know about you guys.
Even your cheap, your used to be cheap places, a foot long turkey at Subway is $12-13 now. You know,
you're kidding. I haven't been in a Subway since before the pandemic.
Yeah, well, so I mean, like, I avoid Subway too.
But. I do too. Oh, what a brilliant idea! Those people now slice your meat.
Right?
They used to pull it out. It used to be pre-sliced, yeah. And now these people are sliced. No, thank you.
I saw the ad for that. Actually, it's funny.
Yeah. I have operated a commercial meat slicer. First of all, you got to be precise with it. Secondly, no.
Yeah.
Well, no. You got to keep that thing meticulously clean all the time.
Exactly. Anybody? I mean, I used to work at a deli many, many years ago. I worked there for years. Phenomenal, best sandwiches I've ever had. But like you said, I think about, you know, you go to McDonald's and you can't get a milkshake because they don't feel like cleaning the milkshake machine. You tell me that grumpy kid working at Subway has taken that meat slicer apart half a dozen times today. Like, no. Oh,
yeah. How do I know he wasn't just mopping the floor too? And he walks over to the meat slicer. You know what I'm saying? It's like, you know, oh gosh, just, I am the king of going into one of these joints where they don't pay their employees and watching what they've touched. Cause I'll tell you what, one time I went to a Burger King and the guy went right from mopping the floor to wrapping my food without washing his hands. I said, I'm not taking that. I called the manager. I said, I can't. You see what he just did? Oh, yeah, you're right. But that doesn't mean he didn't do it to 25 other people
of
before
course
I
did.
Noticed
you just happened to catch him, yeah.
Oh, it's Russian roulette eating fast food.
Yeah, you really are spinning the wheel.
Yeah. See, you never know where these conversations are going to go, right?
Well, we have a lot of food rabbit holes, too, because we're both foodies.
Oh, me too. Yeah. Are you kidding?
Yeah, food.
That's another thing I'm doing that with Craig Peters. We're our family's going out to dinner tomorrow night. So,
food, wrestling, baseball, and being Italian.
Yeah.
And hookers.
Oh, did you? Please. did you guys watch the World Series? Did you have any interest in it? Or
nope.
Did it let you down, or you just didn't look at it?
Honestly, I watched part of one game just because I was, busy and we had some other stuff going on. But the Rangers Diamondbacks was the lowest rated World Series in 30 years. They had the lowest rated World Series game ever. It was of all the possible combinations, Phillies, Braves, Orioles, any of these teams that would have brought a lot of eyes. That was the worst possible outcome for baseball, especially considering this new season with the pitch clock and the bigger bases and everything. They just had ratings up across the board. It was one of the most successful, popular seasons in baseball history. And it ends with a World Series that no one cared about. That's a shame. And I mean no disrespect to the Rangers. Good for them. You know, that they were the... A lot of people don't realize that, because they started as the Senators. They were the oldest professional sports team in America to have never won a championship. Now that's changed. It's now the Minnesota Vikings. No offense to Vikings fans out there. But, and now, of course, Houston, the NFL side, the Texans have got to step up. They're the only pro team in Texas that hasn't won a championship. So I'm glad to see the Rangers finally get one. But I would have liked to have seen it in a different way. The Diamondbacks I sent Benny something, a week or two ago. Somebody pointed out the Diamondbacks had between 2 and 4 wins more than half a dozen teams in the American League that missed the playoffs. They limped in because baseball's playoff system isn't perfect. But no, I was disappointed in it.
Yeah, but I will say this. I enjoyed a few of the stories within the stories, rather than the outcome of the game, some of the individual players did, and, seeing some guys who are unheralded have nice series. I kind of rooted for Travis Jankowski, who used to be a Met. He ended up starting the last two games for the Rangers and actually played well. Very underrated, speedy little outfielder who's very talented but will never start because he's spindly.
Right.
Doesn't hit home runs. But he's a good player, and I was happy to see him have a little success. And a couple of the other guys, too, who had never really shined on the national stage. But I see why people tuned out. There was no name recognition.
Right.
Other than, Scherzer. Well, Corey Seager, But it wasn't enough.
Yeah.
Nobody knows the Diamondbacks. Nobody knows the Arizona Diamondbacks. Go up to the most rabid sports fan and say, name 3 Diamondbacks.
Randy Johnson.
Kettle corn. Yeah. Very good. Yeah. Yeah. Randy Johnson. Yeah. Oh. Benny, same with you. Did you watch a lot of it? None of it?
Not a minute. And no regrets.
And you're a baseball guy, too.
Yeah. And I have to publicly say that even though I'm a diehard Yankee fan, I did attend about 150 games at Shea Stadium. Mm-hmm. So I still love the Mets. How can you not? I mean, if they made the World Series, I'd be happy for them.
I'm a strange baseball fan in that I have no favorite players anymore. I kind of just watch it for the athletic competition of it, and I enjoy it statistically. But I don't have that rah-rah thing going anymore. I look at it more analytically. Maybe just because I was a sports writer for all those years. You tend to look at things more nuts and bolts. Like, I wish I had that feeling. Let's go, Matt. I don't cheer. I don't root. I sometimes keep score.
I love those guys. Ed Cranepool was my favorite because he lived in Farmingdale, where I lived. He lived right by the bowling alley, and we'd walk by his house all the time. Hoping he'd come out, but he never did. But yeah, I love Crane. The other number 7, but he had a really good career. I mean, I don't know if they would say he realized his potential, but He had a pretty solid career. I think he played like 17, 18 seasons.
18 total.
62 to 79, right? I think.
Yep. 1,800 hits, I think. 1,400, something like that.
And he made his debut, I think, at 17?
17. He was 17 years old in the majors.
And he quit at a relatively young age. I mean, he could have hung around for another couple of years.
They failed to re-sign him after 79.
Okay.
And they, you know, Torrey was the new manager then. I didn't think he wanted him around.
He was solid, Kremple.
By the way,
there's
a brand new autobiography by Ed Kremple on the stands right now.
Ooh.
It's well worth your time.
Really? Okay.
It's called The Last Miracle, written by Ed Kremple.
Oh, nice.
It got no publicity at all. I just bought it about a month ago and finally finished it. And he is cranky and cantankerous in half the book. It's awesome. I mean, he names names and just lambasts people left and
really?
Right.
Really?
Wonderful. Oh, geez, yeah, it's great. It's great. So here you go, wrestling fans. We're talking about Ed Kremple. How do you like
Ed Kremple?
But this is Benny Scala and Dan Sebastiano. They have a great podcast. It's called Dan and Benny in the Ring. It's as good as it gets. And if you don't tune in, you're missing out. And I want to thank you, gentlemen, for another great conversation. And you're welcome here anytime. I'll put it that way.
Thank you.
Absolutely. It sounds like fun. Look forward to it.
Yeah. Yeah, me too. Tune in to Dan and Benny in the Ring. Same way you do the Outdated Wrestling Hour. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I hope you all had as much fun listening to that as we did putting it together. That's Dan and Benny from Dan and Benny in the Ring. It's available wherever you get your podcasts. Easy to find. Great guests. You'll have fun. Trust me. We are a community here in the wrestling podcast business, at least as far as I'm concerned. And I have been absolutely thrilled to be on so many other people's shows in the last 3 or 4 months. It's been a gas. It really has. Our website, outdatedwrestlinghour.buzzsprout.com. That's outdatedwrestlinghour.buzzsprout.com. We can learn all about our exciting Outdated Wrestling Hour fan club for as little as $3. You can become part of the show and help us produce it every week. We're going to have a Zoom meeting. And by the way, I'm going to schedule that very soon. I'm going to do it via email for all of you fan club members, not here in the show, mainly because I have to carve it out on the schedule. But it's going to happen this month, so please keep your eyes and ears open for that. And anyway, it's the Outdated Wrestling Hour fan club. You can read all about it on outdatedwrestlinghour.buzzsprout.com. You can also find links to every single show we've done so far. There's over 40 of them, and I hope you enjoy them. A lot of binge-worthy stuff if you haven't heard the early stuff. Write to us, outdatedwrestling@gmail.com. I'm Bob Smith on Facebook. I'm the guy singing with B.B. King, and probably 3/4 of what you read on my stuff is wrestling-related, so I won't be hard to find. And I use the same picture that I use here as my promo for the Outdated Wrestling Hour, that debonair, suave guy right there. Well, anyway, that's it for now. Coming up, George Shire, the incredible author of one of the great wrestling books of all time. I believe that's going to be our next episode. Keep your eyes and ears open. Really looking forward to it all. And for right now, crazy world out there, but I want you to stay safe, stay healthy, and take good care of yourselves. And nothing but peace to you and yours. We'll see you next time.